Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Let's give Jesus Christ just a praise offering. As you are in the room this morning and as you are online, won't you just lift your hands for me, please? I have a sneaky suspicion that the Lord wants to restore, He wants to redeem, He wants to bring back into place. So Father, we speak out this word, Lord, of every person in this room, Father, every person watching me online. Father, I pray in this day that this is the day of restoration. This is the day of restitution, Lord. I speak, Father, and I pray over all of our lives in this day. Father, I have an unction in my spirit, God, that there's a report out over our lives that is not a demonic report. It's not an ill report. It's not a report of destruction, but it's a report of Jesus Christ, which is, you will live and you shall not die. You shall accomplish all that I have for you. And Father, I speak out that report over our lives in this Father's Day. For there's a Father in heaven that loves us ridiculously and scandalously. For He said, I love the world. And Father, in this day, Lord, I believe that there's a report out that says, you will live and you will not die. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. And what they call impossible, I call possible. And what they call cannot be done, I say it can be done. For I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Nissi. I am Jehovah El Shaddai. I am the one that was and is and soon to become. I am the soon coming King. I am Jesus. I am the one that has conquered it all. And I am in love with you. And I say to you this morning, restore, restore unto my people the joy of their salvation. Restore unto my people the joy of their love. Restore unto my people. Restore, restore, restore. Father, I speak this word out over us in this morning, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we will receive the restoration of the Lord. Father, we bind up every force of evil in the name of Jesus the Christ. We refuse to bow our knee under the word and a name that's not the name of Jesus. We believe that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus restores, Jesus makes whole. Father, in this morning we take authority and we bind up every devil, every spirit, Lord, every wickedness that's against that name. We say to this devil, we resist you in the name of Jesus Christ. But Father, we release over us, your people, God, the word restoration. Father, I thank you that I know that you are the God that in a twinkling of an eye, everything can be made new. One day we can go to bed like this, the next day we stand up different. Father, and we believe, we put out our faith, our confidence in you. Lord, as your spirit is in this room this morning, Father, and online, there were people watching us from different locations. Lord, I pray, let it be so in this day, in Jesus' name. For this is the hour to seek the Lord. This is the hour to seek Him out, for He is to be found. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus the Christ, Lord, as it was, Father, with the lady pressing through the crowd, as it was, Lord, with blind Bartimaeus, as it was of Zacchaeus, Lord, as it was of Lazarus, as it was of so many examples through the Bible, you are the God that shows up. It's not too late. It's not done. It's not over. It's not finished. And Father, I speak out this word over our lives this morning. It's not over. It's not an old word, it's not an old terminology, it's a new terminology. As you said, it's not over, Father, and I pray, what a better day not to say, it's not over. And Father, we put our faith, we put our confidence in you. We say, Lord, that our lives will live. We say that our family shall be blessed. We say that in our workplaces we shall be prosperous. We say that wherever we go, that territory shall be taken. We say, Lord, that this God that is with me is greater than anything that is against me. We say restoration in Jesus' name. Lord, we put our words and our hearts with the angels. We put our words and our hearts with the witnesses that have gone before us. Holy is the Lord. Holy are you, God. Forever and ever we pray in Jesus Christ's name. We say, and if you receive that, say, restoration. Oh, come on, let's give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Save me again. Save me. Restoration. Oh, say it like you believe it. Say restoration. Amen and amen. We'll take your seats. Everybody that's online of us, welcome to all the different locations, especially welcome to Cape Town as you are gathering in your location. Welcome to the guys of Witbank. Welcome to Secunda. Welcome to Free State. Welcome to United Kingdom and welcome to the USA. Is it not good to see how the Lord is expanding His church? Amen. Come on, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And before I get into my sermon this morning, we have a little competition running this morning. We have our marriage camp that is around the corner, and our marriage camp is filling up fast, and I think there's only a few places left. So what we want to do this morning is we want to run a little competition. We want to give a marriage couple a space for free. But as we do that, we want to do that on the basis of the couple that shares this gospel stream out the most. Amen. So as you share the stream this morning on Facebook and on YouTube and on Church Online and tag people and get them in, the person, the couple that shares it the most is going to the camp for free. Is that okay? Oh, you guys must be more excited about that. Who of you know that marriage is your best choice after Jesus? Oh, it's silent. Who you marry can make you or break you. It's very true. And I want to encourage you as we run this little competition, send it out. Hey, to the guys from Australia as well. I forget them at times. So as you share the stream, the people that share them the most, husband and wife, they will go to the marriage camp for free. So let's share it. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about a scripture that God spoke to me about personally yesterday. I was putting a scriptures together for this whole week for houses built on sand. And, you know, I wanted to speak on the role of a man, role of a woman again. And as I was preparing, what happens many times is that you just don't feel the Spirit of God in it. And then the Lord started to change and He said to me, I want you to speak on something that I want to speak on that will change everybody that's in the room today and that will change everybody online. Is that okay? And so tonight I will go on and I will continue with our series about, I want to actually speak tonight about dating and relationships and how to be single and all of that and how to do that the God way. Oh, come on church, don't be too silent. There's a God way in these things, isn't it not? But as I was sitting in front of the Lord yesterday, I felt the Lord take me to John chapter number 11. And it's a sermon that I believe is very, very applicable for this time and for this hour that we're living in right now. And where we are right now and where many people might be. In John chapter number 11, verse number 1, I'm going to read for you that, says the following. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed. It was Mary who was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, that's not to Jesus, saying, "Lord, behold, the one you love is sick." And when Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Then in verse number 41, The Bible says the following: Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me as you always do. I'm going to speak to you this morning of what I believe what the Lord has been sharing with me this morning is this, that there's a report out on many people's lives right now. There's a report out over people's health. There's a report out over people's businesses. There's a report out maybe over your marriage. There's a report out maybe over your family, over whatever relationship you may have. There might be a report out over your finances. There might be a report out over your health. As I've just said, whatever the report is, there's a greater report. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, by faith the elders obtained a good report. And I want you to see something here is that the Bible says, Jesus says these words. He says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I thank you that you've heard me. And I want to give you revelation here this morning. Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And as I've read that, it jumped in my spirit. But when did the Father hear Jesus? Because Jesus is standing in front of the cave and he's saying these words. He says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. When? Because Jesus is not praying. I want you to know that. Jesus, when he stands in front of the cave, he's not praying. He's speaking on what he has said already. In other words, he's saying, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, past tense. So what was the past tense that he was speaking about? It was when Mary and Martha said, they sent a messenger, and you might have, I'm going to take this message in a whole different direction this way. They sent a messenger to Jesus. They say, listen, Lord, the one you love is sick. And I want to remind you this morning that the people sending the message are people that have broken their jar on Jesus. It's not just anybody sending the message, it's Mary sending the message. Mary broke the jar. She broke the alabaster jar. She broke everything to get to Jesus. She was the one, the alabaster jar. When you break your alabaster jar in New Testament times, it was a sign that you were breaking everything based on who you believe that Jesus is. In other words, it was a place of no return. It was a place of giving herself. It was a place where she sold herself completely to Jesus. Because she would have broken her alabaster jar only those amount of times that, or a person would have broken the alabaster jar in covenant, in when you get married, when you would have given yourself completely over to somebody. Mary breaks the alabaster jar earlier on in her life because obviously she got tired of trying to fix herself. So she broke her alabaster jar, and now this is how I want to preach it. The alabaster jar girl is in trouble. Oh, come on. And goes to silent. The alabaster jar lady is in trouble. And she needs Jesus to come into the scene. Because she knows his power. She says, Lord, the one you love is sick. It's amazing for me. Listen. That sometimes when we find ourselves in impossible situations, that it's almost like we want to convince God to come onto the scene. We don't need to convince God. He is convinced. Oh, come on, church. Just say amen or something. Just talk back to me a little bit. Guys online, talk back to me. Talk back to me. Because this is important for us. Because Jesus says, he says, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. In other words, he sends his word in front of his name. He sends his word in front of his name. What did God do in this day that we are living in, this age? God has sent his word in front of his name. In actual fact, he's taken his name and placed his word above that, where he says that I will not break my word to you. So here's my question to you this morning. What did Jesus say to you? Because whatever he has said to us, he cannot break. Oh, come on. There might have been, listen, and here's the problem with people, is that from the time that he has said it, in most of our lives, there's another day and a third day and a fourth day. And it's sometimes on day number two and on day number three that we start to negotiate who we really are. This sickness is not unto death for the glory of God. In other words, Lazarus will live. He's going to live the abundant life. But then day two, day three, they bury him and they put him in a cave. How many of us, God has spoken things out over our lives, God has said something about you, but because time lapsed, that fire goes, that passion goes for Jesus. And when that fire goes and that passion for Jesus goes, we are so quick to put who we really are into a cave. And in that, into that cave, we then become lukewarm. We seal up our full potential. We were once happy. We were once full of fire for God. We were once in love with Jesus. But now, because time has lapsed, we put him into a cave. We seal the promise up. We want to move on. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody? How many of you are not seated here this morning and guys watching me online? I know this is true. Just because he didn't do it exactly at the time that we think he should have done it, we get opinionated why he shouldn't have done it, and we get opinionated about him. We say, no, he should have done it this way. He should have done it that way. And we seal up who we are. And I'm saying to you this morning, and this is what I want to get across this morning, we have to say no. I don't know how cold your embers are this morning, but we cannot celebrate Father's Day. We cannot celebrate Father's Day without remembering what the Father said. Come on, guys, am I talking to somebody here this morning? If you've just joined us this morning, just give me an amen or something as we go. Listen, there might have been a prison report out over Lazarus's life. But there's a praise report that went before the prison report. You know, people today, we are so quick to accept stuff. Come on. We're so quick to accept it. On Friday, I took Shannon out, and we were going to a certain place which they say is a 4-star place or 5-star. We went there, or they said it was a 4-star. We went there, and I came there, and I was like, this is not 4-star. I can't let my wife sleep here. I called the manager. I called the general manager. I said, you guys say 4-star. This is not 4-star. This is like 1.5, not even a star. It's like 0.5-star. I said, I paid for 4 stars. You give me 0.5-star. I'm not happy. I said, you know who I am? She laughed. She said, yes, boss, I know who you are. I said, hey, we don't accept half standards. I said, just because you're happy with it doesn't say I must be. How many times in our lives do we not believe in a God that paid for 5 stars, yet life happens to us and we start to gravitate and we live half a star and we want to convince everybody else we have 5 stars? No, untrue. It's time that we break our alabaster jar and say we believe in the God that can do everything and anything that He says He can do, and we will not settle for less. Come on, guys, if He says it, why do we want to take less? Why do we want half a healing if He paid it all? I hear Christians speaking these days that they infuriate me. I tell you, they make me so angry if they say God plucks a flower for His garden or God needs another angel. I get so angry because He doesn't need flowers. You know what I'm talking about? Religious people saying God needs a flower. God needed another angel. No, He does not. If a person has not fulfilled their purpose, it is a thief stealing. Come on, guys. Oh, do I have alabaster jar Christians? Oh, no. Come on, do I have alabaster jar Christians? You see, we cannot negotiate. Jesus shows up day 4. You know the story, is late. As He always is, when it's not your timetable that He must fulfill, it's His timetable. But I want you to understand again, and this is the power of Christ, He sends His word in front of the situation. There are many of you, you're sitting here, you have words in front of your situation. Oh, come on, am I talking to someone? And because you have a word in front of your situation must bow the knee to the word of the Lord. Come on, I've seen people turn around. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God restore people. I've seen the Lord do the craziest stuff because someone believed His word is stronger than the situation. And so Jesus comes, you know the story, Jesus comes to the town of Bethany, by the way. He comes there, they take Him to Lazarus. The Bible's very clear on it, His word is on the inside. The Spirit of the Lord's already waiting. Jesus on the outside, but His word is on the inside. And as I was reading it, the Lord spoke to me. He said, listen, you have to understand, some of my best work gets done in the darkness. There where nobody sees. And sometimes I don't want people to see. And the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over the, you have to understand this, the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over Lazarus. Because before the body came, the word was there. Sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Situation not unto death, but for the glory of God. Before Daniel came to the lion's den, there was already the lion of Judah, or God was already there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before they hit the fire, the one greater than the fire, the God that we call the consuming fire, the fourth man, He was already inside. When Joseph went to the prison cell, there was already the presence of the Lord. The dream went with him. When Paul and Silas was in prison, God was already there. When Peter went to prison, there was a God that was already there. Every situation you will ever face, there's a God that's already in there. But we cannot negotiate. There's nothing to negotiate. Come on, are you with me? So long before we have a dead situation hit the tomb, we have a witness outside. And Jesus says, listen, Jesus says, take away the stone. That's His words. Jesus says, take away the stone. And as I read this, and you need to understand what this means. The word stone is the word for, we know this is the word for the law, but more importantly, the word stone is the word used for where people place their limitations on your situation. In other words, often with the law, we take the law, what people say, and we place it onto people. Like the man at the man of Gadara, the man that was demon possessed. The man that was demon possessed, he had a problem, and the law, and he was trying to heal himself by the law. He cut himself by stone, we know, by his own limitations. But you have to understand that there's something stronger than our limitations. That's why the Bible says that when the stone was rolled away, the angel of the Lord sat on the stone. Why did the angel of the Lord sat upon the stone? Because as the angel of the Lord sat upon the stone, it was a sign. And this was the sign. It's true. You can study what I'm saying. It's factual. When an angel, or when a servant of a king regent, that means the dominating king or the ruling king, would sit on a trophy piece or a place, or like this, for example, the stone, something that was conquered, it becomes a trophy piece. In other words, the angel was sitting, showing off and saying, listen, look what he has conquered. Oh, come on, guys. And here's my question this morning. Can we again break the jaw that He can break the tomb? Many of us, we're sitting here, I know, because listen, the spiritual temperature is dropping in the world. It's true. I went on Friday night. I was, as I said to you, I took Shannon out, and we went to eat at a place. And as there, I looked at all of these people, and I thought to myself, where and how did we get here that the moral decay is so rampant? Come on. And I thought to myself, no, this cannot be. And then as I was sitting there, I was thinking to myself, the fire of the church needs to be brighter than the decay of the world. Oh, come on. But if we look like the world, if we then we can't save them. We have no power then. Come on. And then the Lord said to me, He said, it's time that my church breaks the alabaster jar again. They have to give me everything. Because as they break the jar, I'll break the tomb. But there's not a halfway with the Lord. It's everything. He wants everything. Oh, come on. You see, you have to know this morning as you sit here and guys that are online, you have to understand that with every impossible situation, there's a God moment. There's a God moment. There's always a God moment. There's always a God moment, but we cannot negotiate. Listen, we cannot negotiate in this season. We cannot negotiate what is given to us by blood. How do you get your house back on the rock? It's simple. Break your alabaster jar again and give Him everything. Then inside of you, what happens when you break that alabaster jar? Jesus heals from the inside, not from the outside. He heals from the inside out. And here inside of your spirit, you become so convicted that you fall in love with Him and nothing can stop that love. Come on, there's not a demon in hell that's strong enough for that. But you see, the point is this, is that as long as it doesn't, this week, let me tell you, this week I went, I needed to visit one or two people that was in ICUs. And by chance, it's the same ICU that I have fought for I prayed for in that same ICU I prayed for my mom. In that same ICU, I prayed for one of my son's daughters or wife. It's my daughter, his wife. I prayed for her. Same ICU now lies one of my best friends. And everybody, listen, I want you to understand this. I get there, they dress you up and walk in, say hello, here I am, I'm here to pray. Who are you? I'm so and so. Okay, walk in. And by the way, you can't just walk into ICUs, especially not now. But 9 times I went in without nobody stopping me. And on one of the occasions, there was a family as I came walking down to go and get dressed in this whole suit. They said to me, listen, are you Pastor Gebert? I said, yes, I am. They said, can you pray for our loved one inside? I said, yes, I will. And they gave me the story. So I went in, prayed for them as well. And in the ICU, we laid hands in front of the doctors and the nurses or whatever. And this is a weird thing that I found. Right there in that ICU, the sisters want us to pray. Because they understand that unless the Lord intervenes and intercepts, medicine goes only so far. And it struck me as I stood there, there's nobody lying there that is unbelievers. All of them want God to encounter them. Oh. But there, here we are, many, and we are afraid of what? Something that might happen? No, come on, guys. We have not received a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. You can all say, Pastor, but were you not afraid going in? No, absolutely not. Because every time we touch other people's lives, every single time we go in, touch a nurse's life, touch people's lives, bless people, give to people, help people. But we have to be, listen, if you're not willing to break your alabaster jar, you'll start to negotiate. Come on. You get fear into your heart. And here's Mary and Martha. They get the report. Lazarus is dying. Okay, we need to get Jesus on the scene. Send to Jesus. Tell him the one you love is sick. They appeal to him on the basis of his love. He comes back. Awesome message. They say, Jesus says, the sickness is not unto death for the glory of God. They must have said, hallelujah. Sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That means Lazarus is going to be whole. But day two comes and day three comes, Lazarus dies. Now, was Jesus wrong? The answer is all of you can say no. But they must have thought that Jesus made a mistake. Because they seal Lazarus up. They put him in a tomb. They say, it's done. It's finished. It sounds like, and this is what I want to get over into your spirits this morning. Oh, hear me this morning. There has to be a little bit of a Shumanite woman inside of us. Where, and who's the Shumanite woman? The Shumanite woman was a woman that prepared a place for God to come and visit through Elijah the prophet. Elisha, I think. Yeah, it's Elisha. And Elisha says, hey, what can I do for you? And Elisha, the lady says, listen, you know, I don't really want something. And eventually what happens is that she says, listen, well, you know, and Elisha says, you will have a son by such and such a time. And she says to him, it's not what I want, but he says to her, I want you to listen to me. He says to her, you'll have a son. Then the Bible says that there comes a time that the boy gets ill, 12 o'clock in the midday, he has a temperature, he dies. She gets a donkey, her husband asks her, what are you busy doing? And she says these words, it is well. And she starts right off, and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, it is well. Where are you going? He doesn't even know about the boy yet. She just says, she's convinced. She says, it is well. Elijah says, sits on a mountain, if I remember the story right. And he says to Gehazi, listen, isn't that the Shumanite woman? And Gehazi goes down, and I like the Shumanite woman. Come on, Shumanite woman. And Elijah, Gehazi comes, and Gehazi says, you know, what can we do for you? She tells him the whole story, and then we know the prophet sends his stick or his staff. And here's the bottom line. The Shumanite woman has got attitude. And I'm preaching to you how the Lord said it to me. The Shumanite woman has got attitude. She says, listen, this time you cannot send your servant or you cannot send me your stick. You have to come. Why? Why does she have attitude based on that? Because she's saying, listen, I did not say this. I did not ask for this. You said this. In other words, I'm going to keep you responsible for the word that you gave. Come on. And then the Bible says that he comes, Elisha, you know the story. He lies on the boy 7 times before he wakes up, or 7 sneezes and all of this stuff. And the bottom line is this, there needs to be a little bit of Shumanite right now inside of us. That needs to rise up on the inside and say no. It might be day number 2, it might be day number 3, but he said. And my question to you is very simple this morning. What did he say? What is the report of the Lord? What is the report of the Lord? Because if the Lord has a report, that's the report that we must take. King Hezekiah received a report from Sennacherib, a king. And Sennacherib tells him, listen, it's over. I'm going to take your whole army, your kingdom, everything. The Bible says Hezekiah runs with that report. He throws it in front of God. He says, Lord, what is your report? And the Lord sends help. This is what I want you to get this morning, if I can summarize it in the next couple of minutes. And it would be simply this, that there's a report out over our lives. And His report stands, but inside of us needs to be a Shumanite Mary that breaks everything because we believe. Oh, come on, give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Come on, guys, are you with me? This word burns in my heart because I believe that He has made us to stand. Jesus has made nothing to crumble. It's not His design to crumble. It's not His design for us. Come on. And we must not seal the deal. Because if we do, we might find ourselves in a place where He instructs us, open it up. And I would still want to know someday, because I was in Lazarus' tomb. I saw the tomb. That tomb is 4 meters down. It's like a deep thing. How did the guy get in there? Or how did he get out? Because actual fact, there's a deep tomb inside, and then there's a stone on the outside. But the point is simply this, guys. Are we still willing to break our alabaster jars? Are we still willing? Are we still willing? Oh, where's the fire? Where's the passion? Where's the hunger for Jesus? Come on, where is the church? I plead of you this morning, where is our hunger and our thirst for God? Where is it? Where is it where we become so desperate, like the lady of the issue of blood, and we just like said, get out my way, I'm gonna get to Jesus. You're not supposed to be, I don't care, man. I'm there, walks my healing. Come on. Where's the Silas and the Paul inside of us that can give Him worship and praise? I'm telling you the truth. You can take my word to the banks. You can write this down. I said it to you end of last year, and I'll say it again. There is a righteous name and it will be reserved. I don't care. Listen, I have survived most things that I've gone through in my life. And I can tell you one thing that will stand. It's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord will not fail. The word of the Lord will not fall to the ground. The word of the Lord will not cease. Everything can cease. People can come. People can go. People can criticize. People can attack. But there is one thing that stands. It's the word of the Lord. If He said it, it stands. If He said over your life, you'll be prosperous, you will prosper. If He said you'll be whole, you will be whole. If He said to you, you'll not be lonely, you will not be lonely. Whatever Jesus said, stands. I've many times gone to the Lord and said, but you said, then I see things in my life that looks ridiculous. I said, but you said, I'm coming based on what you said. You were beaten. Why should I be beaten? You were ripped to pieces. Why should I be ripped to pieces? You bled for my sickness. Why should I be sickness? Quite frankly, I am convinced that I cannot get ill. If I feel anything in my, if I just feel a tingling in my throat, I pine to devil. If I feel anything, I don't accept it. No, I bind the devil out of it. I don't care if it's a panado or a headache or a mistake or a whatever thing. I bind it. This vessel belongs to the Lord. My body is a temple to God. So are yours. So, I have a board up in the spirit over my chest. Says no virus, no bacteria, no sickness, no illness, nothing. Why? He said it. Why should I negotiate it? Say thank you very much. Come on, guys. We have to have the passion back. Can I have an amen on that? So why am I here this morning? I'm here this morning to tell you there's a Jesus report out over your life. And not your boss, not the devil, not your circumstance, not your surroundings. Nothing can stop the word of the Lord. And the only thing you must do and I must do, we must not seal it up. We must build our houses on the rock, the word of the Lord. And in this hour, listen to me, God needs men, God needs women that will stand up for what is right. God needs you to stand up for His word right now. God needs you to worship Him with all you've got. Because we are under attack, whether we like to hear it or not. My heart is so grieved, you know. On Friday night, I drove past this place where, with Shannon, and as I drove past, I saw literally the whole place packed, like hundreds of people, thousands of people. It's a whole lane of just vanity. And I thought to myself, you know, I've got nothing against people having a good time. But there's a huge double standard. And I thought to myself, no. If this is okay, if they think this is okay, I'm not thinking this is okay. But I'm not going to help them by being lukewarm. I must be on fire. And this is the thing. I cannot get fired for other people. I cannot birth hunger for other people. I cannot get you passionate for yourself. You must pray. You must read your Bible. You must want to worship God. You must want to honor the Lord. Then that happens. Come on. I'm just here to tell you this morning, very, very simply. I'm just here to tell you, it's not over. It's not done. It's not finished. And I don't care who said what. People could have rejected it. People could have said something about it. People could have wanted to stop you. I tell you, when God has called you, when God has anointed you, when God has appointed you, there's nothing that can stop it. It's simple. If you look at David's life, I'll close with this. If you look at David's life, the boy doesn't get invited to the family meeting, yet God chose him. There he comes. He walks from those shepherd's fields. He never knew that's the last time he's going to walk like a shepherd's boy. The next time he's going to walk as the anointed of the Lord. That's at the age of 13, by the way. He gets anointed. God does nothing with David for 17 years. Sends him back to the sheep. There you go. 17 years. Then one day he chooses to go and take bread and cheese for his brothers. He's still busy with acts of service. Never did he know that what happened in the 17 years prepared him for that moment. That wasn't Goliath, that was a platform. Goliath was not the problem. God was setting him up for a platform. Taking bread and cheese to his brothers. Nice pizza. Bread and cheese. Going with bread and cheese to his brothers. And as he goes with bread and cheese, God is already setting him up. I'm here to tell you, it might be the first day that you have faced a circumstance. You might have been in the circumstance for a year, or 2 years, or 4 years, or 5 years. Yes, so this is what I want you to say. If the word of the Lord still stands, then there is the breath of the mighty God that is still fluttering over that word. And as long as you can agree with Him, He will manifest His own word. The Spirit of the Lord hovering over the hovering. I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine this. Think of me just for a moment. Guys there in Cape Town, I hope you're shouting. I can't hear you, but think about this. Here Lazarus lies. He's dead. Day one, day two, day three, day four. Day four, according to rabbinical laws, it's impossible. He's dead. Spirit of the Lord hovers. Hovers. Because Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Lazarus lies dead. Or is he asleep? Is he dead or is he waiting? Spirit of the Lord hovers. suddenly there's a the stone gets rolled away by the people that placed him in there. Light penetrates the darkness. Still dead. Jesus stands on the outside. Bunch of people crying. Jesus says, this sickness. He says to the Father, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. When? 4 days earlier. In other words, what looked like a dead situation was the process of God. What looked like the impossibility was God working behind the scenes. All of you that sit here and everybody online, you have 4 days in your life. You might have 4 days in your marriage. You might have 4 days in your business. You might have 4 days in your workplace. You might have 4 days of relationships. You might have 4 days in your dreams. I tell you the truth, every single person, every one of us have 4 days. Somewhere in our lives, we have 4 days. And there's a word out. There's a word out in front of you. But long before you face your impossibility, there was a word. Here Lazarus lies, the Spirit of the Lord hovers. What I love about Jesus, He makes this personal. He makes this personal. He could have shouted, the friend I love, Mary and Martha's brother, he could have said anything, but he doesn't. He says, Lazarus, come out. And the word and the spirit, they fuse. And the Spirit of the Lord hits that body. And here comes Lazarus. I'm here to say to you this morning, restoration shall be your portion. And it's not to be negotiated. Come on, guys, do we have faith? It's not to be negotiated. We cannot negotiate faith. We cannot negotiate His word. It's not to be negotiated. And here Lazarus comes out wrapped, and Jesus says, let him go. And by the way, this word wrapping here means two things. The first thing that this word wrapping means limitation. The second thing that was wrapping here means the words of other people. Bounded by other people's opinions. Jesus says, you people that bound him, I am the word, unbound him. Oh, come on. So I want to encourage each and every one of you. This is the thing I want you to do. I want us to have a moment this morning. Because He wants your alabaster jar. He wants your alabaster jar. Come on, guys. And all you and I need to do, we need to give Him our alabaster jar back. You need to break it. Oh, come on. You need to risk it again. You need to, wherever you're listening to me from, you need to be brave again and walk into that house of Simon and spot the master. So there he's sitting, and take that alabaster jar and break it. Because when you break it, you have just put His reputation on the line. It's no longer yours. It might take your reputation to get to Him, but from that moment that you break it on Him, it's His reputation. If my children, I'll end of this, if my children don't do well, it's my reputation. If you see my children walking the streets not looking well, and please don't be too religious right now, it's my reputation. In the Old Testament, I'll close with this. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, God says to Moses, wait, don't come closer, holy ground. Take off your shoes. New Testament. The boy is still walking. He's smelling like pigs. The father says, get the rope, get the ring, slaughter the calf, get the shoes, put it on his feet. Oh. But we need to break the jar. And so this morning, as I didn't want you to just help me here, I want us to have a moment, and before we do one or two more things, I want us to take a moment right now. And I don't know where you are on your journey. I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know the impossibilities, but I do know this, is this word cannot fail. It cannot fall to the ground failing. You might have delayed a season or two. You might have had a bad season, and maybe you had a bad year. Maybe you've had a bad 4 years or 5 years or 10 years. Maybe you're fighting a demon that you don't know how you're going to win. I know that there's a name that everything responds to. And it's not saying that name eloquently. It's not shouting it out. It's just sometimes saying, hey, Lord, if you don't help me now, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And I know that he'll stop. That's the Jesus I serve. He's a Jesus that stops. Blind Bartimaeus, help me, Jesus, son of David. Help me, Jesus. The crowd says, shut up. He says, Jesus, shut up. 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 And the Bible says that Jesus stops. He stops. He stops. Oh, come on, church. He is still the God that stops. Oh, don't you have the same passion? He's still the God that stops. Still the God that stops. He'll stop for you anytime in any given moment. He stops. He says, what do you want? It's a simple question. What do you want? I want my eyes. Let it be. Some of you don't need eyes. You need health. Some of you don't need health. You need breakthrough. Some of you don't need breakthrough. You need prosperity back. You don't need that. You need peace. Some of you don't need peace. You need wholeness. Some of you don't need wholeness. You need joy. Some of you don't need joy. You need depression to go, anxiety to go. Whatever the case is, I'm telling you, you are not what sealed you up. You are the word that is spoke over your life. Oh, my God, help us that people will believe what I say. Lord Jesus, preach, 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 preach. Lord, let me not seal up who we are. Listen, you might have had a bad relationship. That doesn't mean your life is bad. You might have had a divorce. That doesn't mean you're broken. You might have had sickness. That doesn't mean you're sick. You might have failed God 20 times. That doesn't mean you're a failure. You might have had a bad business deal. That doesn't mean you're a bad business person. You might have messed up. You are not a mess. You might have gone through tests. You are a testimony. Come on. We need to rise up as children of God and say, we trust the Lord of all of our heart. We lean not unto our own understanding. We acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and we shall see Him direct our paths. We need to be loud. We need to be boisterous, and we need to be victorious. We need to say, Jesus, we trust You. Jesus, we trust You. Here ons vertrou U met ons hele hart. Jesus, we trust You. Come on, church, are you there with me? Jesus, we trust You. Who cares what people say? They're not going to be there at the end. Jesus, we trust You. And then He stops. He's like, come here. And so on Father's Day, it's all about Jesus. We need to be a fiery church. Oh, come on. Tell you a story. I'll lose my reward by telling you, but I'll tell you. Got a call from let me say this. I'll give you a piece of the story. Sometimes you will go through so many stuff in your life that you think you can't make it back home. telling you today, if you are willing to give Him back His alabaster jar, the house doors are empty. The house doors are open. The lights is on. He's saying, come back. Come back. Let me restore you. Let me heal you. Let me repair you. Let me fix you. Let me shape you. Can I have 5 more minutes? Guys online, are you with me for 5 more minutes? Listen. Uzziah loses his wife Gomer. She goes and does prostitution again. I feel the Spirit of God as I say this. She quits on Uzziah. Uzziah means salvation. Gomer means completion. Uzziah, Gomer runs away and she does what she does best. She's a prostitute. She's busy getting sold. And people are bidding for Gomer. They want to buy her. Oh. And in that days, they were naked when they were being sold. There Gomer, she stands naked, shamed, being sold as a piece of meat. And suddenly these men, they're shouting, we'll buy her. They throw the prices out. And suddenly among these voices that are, so they say, we'll pay this 10 pieces of silver and one barley loaf and whatever the price was, they're throwing the prices out because all of them want Gomer. And suddenly, in the midst of the crowd, there comes another voice. And it's the voice of Uzziah. He'll say, I'll pay for her. What's the price? And Uzziah B is higher than anybody else. He says, I want Gomer. You want the prostitute? Yeah. That's my wife. It's mine. Gomer must have said, what the hell, Uzziah? Uzziah B is like a crazy man. That's my wife. That's mine. I paid by my blood. I want her. I don't know about you, but 2020 years ago, there was a voice screaming your name. That voice said, I'll pay whatever I need to pay to get that boy, to get that girl. And you might be Gomer here sitting this morning listening to me online. I tell you the truth, there's a voice screaming down the darkness, calling out your name and say, I'll pay whatever I need to pay to get you back into my household of faith. I'll pay the price. I'll come running after you again and again and again. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Never will I walk out on you. You can sin, you can run, you can commit adultery, but I'll come after you. You need to know on Father's Day, you serve a Father that loves you ridiculously and scandalously and is in love with you, and you will not stop Him, for God so loved the world. He gave you Jesus, and Jesus, when He hung on that cross, He saw you, He saw me. He said, I'll pay it, Father. The Father said, you're going to take a beating. He said, beat me, Father. You're going to rip, your beard is going to get ripped out. I'll take that beating. The Father is still screaming your name. Jesus is still saying, come home. Come home. Oh, come on. Am I talking to someone? Come home. Come home. Come home. One of the things I hate about this season, I hate this fact. I hate it. To see how many people are full of fear. To see how many people are losing their loved ones in an inhumane way. With people being alone when they die. I have a huge issue with this. It's wrong. It's demonic. It's demonic. Don't tell me you're protecting me. It's my loved one you're talking about. I don't know about you, how you feel about that. I get very upset about that. They say we can't lay hands, but right there in front of their eyes we lay hands. And they ask us to. God wants His children back. Are you there? I've preached a lot, I'm sorry, but I'm so passionate about His people. I'm so passionate about the house of the Lord. The Bible says the zeal of my house have consumed me. I'm passionate about seeing you free. I'm passionate about seeing your families whole. I'm passionate about seeing you whole. I'm passionate about seeing your hands lifted high when you worship Him. I'm passionate about you succeeding in life. I'm passionate about you not settling for anything but the best that He has for you. I'm passionate about seeing you full of healing and prosperity and blessing and good marriages and good children. That's what I'm passionate about. And I made up my mind that the devil will not win. He can throw whatever he wants. He will not conquer us. Because I've learned something about the devil. He's persistent, but so am I. He's disciplined, but so am I. But I've learned that I have something that he has not. I have a father. He doesn't have a dad. I have one. My dad is all powerful, all omniscient, all wonderful. And I learned that he is afraid of my dad. So now I'm back onto the playground of my school. I said, do you want to know how strong is my dad? He'll beat you up twice. He'll slap you in front of your enemy. Come on, guys. Okay, I'm done. I need to stop. I want to pray. Everybody on site, everybody on air, there we are. I want to pray this prayer. I want to give you a chance to give your life back to Jesus and to come back to the Lord like you should. So I'm going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. If you feel led to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come back to you this morning and give you my life and give you my everything. I surrender it all. I surrender my life to you. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you everything. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, wipe away my sins. Wipe away every tear. Wipe away every sorrow. Wipe away all the pain. As I come home, in Jesus' name. I want to break my alabaster jar again. Help me to do so, Father, and this day I pray, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer in-house first, I want you to lift your hands. Just slip up a hand, just show me. I see that hand, I see those hands, I see those hands, I see those hands. I see those hands here on this side. I see those hands, I see those hands, I see. Let's go online. People that have given your life to the Lord, throw up your hands, just an emoji for us that we can see. We can see, just put up those hands. Amen. Father, I pray every single person that has given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Father, I want to pray right now, Lord, that all of them, that you welcome them, Father, as I know you will. And Father, we just bless every single person that came to salvation this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. All of the guys that are online of us, again, we're saying again, we are having a marriage camp. A marriage camp competition going here. So, share. And the couple that shares the most, you will be going on the marriage camp for free. Amen? So, we just want to bless that. Can I just say to every father, can I have every father that's in the house, will you please stand? Every father, all the guys that are online, if you are standing, all the fathers... Can I ask the congregation, would you just stretch out your hands to these precious men? You are men of born for battle. So Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for all the fathers. I pray that they will be blessed, increased, expand as they stand for your word, your ways, and your word. I pray bless them, increase them all the days of their lives in Jesus Christ's name. I pray, Lord, as they make a stand in their families to be saved and to bring their families to salvation, so shall it be in Jesus' name. I bless them as they are standing as pillars of strength. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let everybody say, amen and amen and amen. Well, welcome to be seated. I just, as Pastor Stefan comes, I want you to please do the following. I want you to get your gifts out to the Lord. All the brothers, all the band of brothers, we're going to have a time of all the men on the 26th of June. That is next weekend. Yes, next weekend, Saturday. And I want to encourage every single one of you that are in here in the service today that you would go and please register for the band of brothers. Everybody online, that tagline will go out. The links will go out. Please register for it, that you can be a part of the band of brothers. Then again, I want to say the marriage camp. Do not miss the marriage camp. We have the highest influx of marriage camp requests that we've ever had. And people need marriage support. Amen. You can be married for 50 years and still have a blessed one. And I really want to encourage the marriage camp. Every single person, the marriage camp. And then I want to also ask this morning, is there any first-time visitors here this morning? Any first-time visitors? Good morning, welcome. I hope you enjoyed Empower this morning. Good morning and welcome, guys. Welcome, welcome. I hope you enjoyed the service. Can we give to the Lord? Can we bless the Lord? Come on. And let's bless the Lord of our giving. I want you to prepare your gift to the Lord. And let's prepare all of our giving to the Lord. And as the giving goes out on live streams, as we bless the Lord this morning, as you have your gifts in your hands, won't you just stand inside, everybody on the online with me. Won't you bless the Lord? So have your gifts ready. Gift in your offering, your tithes. Let's bless the Lord. Father, I pray for every single person, Father, that blesses you, that gives tithes, offerings, whatever it is, Father, this morning, the seed sown. I thank you that it's pressed down, shaken together, running over into their bosoms, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.